Let's pray. Gracious God, in rushing waters and in dry wilderness, in every season and circumstance, we need your sustaining word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, proclaim the good news among us today so that we may repent and believe and see again how the time is fulfilled and the kingdom has come near. In Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 22. In this reading, we are reminded that Jesus suffered for doing what is right, and that our faith in him may lead us into suffering, as we sometimes find ourselves at odds with the world around us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight people, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 9 through 15 when we hear about the 40 days Jesus spent in the desert. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. In those days, Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Apparently, just 6 chapters into the book of Genesis, God's good creation had become polluted beyond repair. As we read in Genesis 6, it says, "The earth was filled with violence, and God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth." So as you heard me tell Taylor earlier, God told Noah to build an ark and to load up 2 of each animal, as well as his family. Then God sent a great flood that covered the entire face of the earth, destroying every living thing. But Noah and his family and the animals on the ark were safe. Our final reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. After the floodwaters have receded and the refugees have come out of the ark. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent is traditionally a heavy time of the year. Starting with the penitential atmosphere of Ash Wednesday, Lent is a reminder of the pervasiveness of human sin and the inevitability of human death, both of which we witnessed this week in a school in Florida on Ash Wednesday. There is an ominous quality to this season of the church year, as once again we remember how Jesus walked the lonesome valley all the way to the cross. And it's an ominous quality that is reflected in the scripture passages that are appointed for each of the Sundays in Lent. But there is a thin thread of hope and light running through those same lectionary passages. It's almost the flip side of Lent, you might say. And it is the hope found in the covenants that God makes with us. Henry Nouwen writes, "When God makes a covenant with us, God says, 'I will love you with an everlasting love. I will be faithful to you even when you run away from me, reject me, or betray me.'" Now, we live in a world full of contracts rather than covenants. Ours is a world of an endless line of legal documents that we are asked to sign anytime we want to rent a car or buy a house or borrow money for a degree. And each contract seems to be built upon distrust. and we're trying to protect ourselves from the liability if the other person or the other party doesn't hold up his or her end of the bargain. So when we make a contract with a person, we say, I will fulfill my part as long as you fulfill yours. And when you don't live up to your promises, I no longer have to live up to mine. So contracts are broken when parties involved are unwilling or unable to be faithful to the terms. But God didn't make a contract with us. God made a covenant. And in each of the covenants that we'll be studying throughout this season of Lent, we read God's promise of faithfulness to us, even when we are unfaithful to God. All of these stories, which if you want to know what's coming, they're listed on the announcement page. All of these stories raise issues of fidelity and mutuality and obedience. So the Genesis passage that I read to you is perhaps the most famous example of a covenant between God and God's people, in this case given through Noah and his family. God begins the story with, "As for me," and what follows is God's unilateral act. Noah has no part in this new covenant. There's no role to play, and there are no obligations or expectations. It is all God's initiative. An amazing act of graciousness, not just extended to Noah and to his family, but it says to future generations, as well as to all of creation. The covenant is cradled in this simple promise of verse 11. And God says, I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So as a sign or a promise of this covenant, God says, I have set my bow in the clouds. And it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. God says, I will be faithful to you even when you run away from me, reject me, and betray me. But I think there's a problem with this sign, or at least a problem with how we interpret this sign. Because I'm afraid we have sentimentalized and over-romanticized the rainbow. Now, don't get me wrong. I will belt out the lyrics of Somewhere Over the Rainbow just as loud as the girl next to me. But I am afraid we have turned a powerful sign of God's pledge of fidelity into a flimsy cliche. According to some biblical scholars, the Hebrew word here used for bow could refer to God's bow, as in a bow and arrow. It could refer to, and some would argue it does refer to, a weapon of war and hostility and destructiveness. That the bow was suspended in the sky means God has disarmed himself and has hung up his primary weapon and now has no intention of being our adversary. So if you think of the rainbow as a weapon, God putting it in the sky is a gesture of peace and reconciliation to us. And more than a reminder to us, Genesis says the rainbow is a reminder to God, a reminder to be faithful and everlasting to the covenants, to the promises that he has made with us. If you think back to last week, when we talked about those particular mountaintop moments, moments in time when everything just seems to fit, and we have everything that we could ever hope for right there in front of us. I wonder if you remember the first time you had one of those moments with God, where everything just fit, and you had all you needed. I wonder if you remember the first time you had a kind of rainbow moment when you somehow knew, perhaps without quite understanding, that God is faithful and his love for you is everlasting. Some parts of this church would celebrate that as the moment that they were saved. And quite possibly some of you here this morning can point to a date and a time and a place on a calendar where you had this moment of recognition. Other parts of the church use different language to refer to the same kind of experience, reflecting on how sometimes our faith unfolds before us slowly, almost without us noticing, until one day we wake up and realize that we know somehow in the very depths of our soul that God loves us very much and will be faithful to us. During Lent, as we study these covenants, we will celebrate the renewal of several different covenants of our faith. And so today we will celebrate and renew the covenant of our first profession of faith. That moment when we said publicly for the first time that we believe that God is faithful and everlasting, and that he expresses his love for us in the saving death of Jesus Christ. And I know many of you, possibly most of you, have done this before, either as part of a confirmation class when you were younger, when you joined a church, this one or maybe another one, or perhaps even as an adult, when you were baptized, you made a profession of faith. And so we're going to remember and celebrate that moment. So I hope as I'm talking, you are thinking about what that first rainbow moment for you was. But if you're here, and if you haven't done this yet, perhaps now's the time for you to have a rainbow moment of realizing that God is faithful to you, even when you are unfaithful to God. Maybe now's the time to publicly declare your love for God. And if you fall in that category, and if you do that this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary now or listening to this sermon on the podcast later on, I'd really like to know that you took this amazing first step of faith. So tell me, get in touch with me later on. So as we renew this profession of faith covenant, a covenant that we make to God, showing him how we intend to be faithful to him, I would ask you to turn in your bulletins to the covenant renewal service. There's an opening litany there that we will read together. Our lives are full of choices, but one choice informs all the others. Who will be our God?
Who has been with us from before the beginning? Who has loved us and blessed us and sent us on our way? Who will celebrate with us when we have finished running the race and seek the comfort of eternity?
The Holy One, the God of the Covenant. And today we renew the covenant you made with us, the promise that you will be our God and we will be your people.
May your glory
Please join with me in the unison prayer printed in your bulletin. Covenant-keeping God, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. Amen.